Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. By now, I say it every week, you know what we do. They're people with great stories. We sit down with them. We hear the stories. We hopefully inspire. And I get to learn from people that I kind of sit back and watch and admire from a distance. Jet Tila, celebrity chef, television host, multiple Guinness World Records. Is there more?
There's five records, but whatever, man.
Okay, but who's counting?
Who's counting really? These records?
Let's go. And obviously, restaurateur. So a lot of things.
Yeah.
We appreciate you coming in on The Pulse.
I appreciate you having me, man. I've seen a lot of my colleagues on the show. I get a little jealous. So, you know, checking it off the bucket list.
Hey,
so.
You got records. I don't think any of those guys
the good
have records.
Kind. The
oh,
good
right.
Kind.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. All that's expunged after.
Right. Because we've had people who had the other kind of records,
I get it.
Too.
I get it. Yeah.
And we go through that process. We sit back, and I was mentioning before we got started, Chef Garces has been here, Guy Fieri has been here.
Yeah. Jeff Morrow was just here. I know, exactly. See, I'm doing my homework.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit of work there.
Yeah.
And it was, when did this become a thing? Like the whole celebrity chef, TV host, authors, the whole nine.
I think on the nerdy level, a lot of us grew up watching PBS, right? Okay. So we had Martin Yan. We had, all the French chefs, Jacques Pepin. But I don't think it became a thing until legit Food Network. And Food Network was about 1999.
Okay.
Right? And then you had Mario Batali, Ming Tsai, Bobby Flay grilling and chilling. Young Bobby. Where are you, Bobby? Young Bobby. He'll watch this. So those of us who, I'm 50 years old, right? I've been cooking 30 years. And I was in L.A., and I was working at really great restaurants. I was kind of hustling on the side. I didn't come up with a lot, so I was trying to survive. And then I met a producer. He's like, hey, I do this show called on Food Network.
Okay.
And I'm like, what's a Food Network? You know what I mean? So I started watching Food Network, and then just being in L.A. and working in the really fine dining restaurants and meeting all these celebrities, I think that kind of what sparked it. So that's when it became a thing. To really quickly answer that question, I think Food Network made chefs personalities, celebrities, which is crazy.
I feel like, and I guess, because I've met people, Cartier Brown was here.
Yeah.
Similar story. She was already, although she was not a chef at that point. But it's, I guess, already personalities. It just kind of shined a light for people to see what you're always doing.
Yeah, I think it just, when you put someone on television and they live in your living room and they do something that inspires you or teaches you something, and that happens for hours and hours, it becomes this kind of parasocial relationship, right? And chefing, unlike television or movies, we're not playing a role. We're being us. So people watch and they start going, oh yeah, Jet, your wife's really cool, and I see your kids on this, and then that translates to social media, and then it becomes this very kind of 24-hour relationship. Yeah. And it's a trip, man. It's a trip. You know what I mean?
It's a lot. So this was always you. This was always you. People just didn't know, or is this you on 10?
I'll be real. Food Network, I say it's the vanilla safe version of me, right?
Okay.
Does that make sense? I mean, I say I curse a lot more in real life. I'm more three-dimensional in real life. But I think my role on Food Network is, which I'm really proud of, is, I am a ambassador for many things, right? A, person of color. B, Asian food. Mm-hmm. And C, I'm a teacher. So that's my face, I think. You know what I mean? Okay. When I hang out with you like this, this is going to be more the real me than, let's say, you watching me on Food Network.
Okay, and I think that's probably all of us.
Yeah, right?
I don't like to admit it, but I curse occasionally.
Occasionally.
It will happen every now and then. You got family members watching right now going, occasionally.
Exactly.
So when did you know, because you were already a chef, you were already doing your thing, so you've been doing this for 30 years.
Yeah.
When did you know that, this whole chef restaurateur thing, now I'm TV personality?
Yeah, pivotal moments. I think we all have those kind of breakthrough moments. So I was chefing at Wynn Las Vegas, right? Okay. So I opened the Encore Hotel, and that was my biggest stepping stone. I was a local LA chef until that point. I was a kid who grew up. So my family, the short story is my family started Thai food in America.
Okay.
Right? They immigrated in 1966. All the Thai restaurants started in Los Angeles and moved east. right? Like, little known fact. Only Thai town in America is L.A. And I was kind of part of finding and creating that vibe. My dad was the guy who started the first Thai association in like the 60s and 70s, the first Thai temple, wow. the first Thai restaurants, first Thai markets. So I was a kid who grew up in mom and pop businesses.
Okay.
And went to French culinary school, went to Japanese culinary school. Then I cooked a tasting at Wynn Las Vegas. So they asked me to come out and they're like, hey, will you open this hotel? And I wasn't the pedigree. Right, dropped out of high school, kind of was a local guy. Okay. Cooked a tasting because they needed a chef that could do sushi, Asian fine dining, and like make orange chicken, bro. Like you know, like really do the whole realm. Yeah, and I was like, I got you. I'm that guy. While I was there, they asked me to do a show called Iron Chef America.
Yeah.
Right? This is 08, 09. It's a long time ago. And
a la cuisine guy.
A la cuisine. He's a great dude, by the way. And battled my idol, Morimoto. Right. He beat me by 2 points. But that show kind of, I think, put me in front of the Food Network executives. And they're like, okay, younger guy at that point, can cook a lot of Asian cuisine, can communicate, is a real kind of three-dimensional person. So that's when I knew. I was like, wow, I did the show, got a massive amount of feedback. And they were like, hey, do you want to do more TV? And I was like, yeah, man, like, get me out of this life. Like, get me out of the restaurants. You know what I mean?
And then in your wildest imagination, excuse me, walking down the street and people recognize you, like doing appearances. And we'll talk about Luck Fu.
Yeah, for sure. And well, that's what I'm here for. Yeah, that's my life in Philly is Luck Fu, yeah.
But did it ever in your wildest imagination, this is what it can become?
No way. I mean, every day I pinch myself. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way as a 13-year-old, as a 20-year-old, as a 30-year-old, right, working in food, would I think, like, I would be famous, quote-unquote, right? Yeah. I would have followings. I would write cookbooks. I would break world records. Not really, man. Like, you know, my dad was a simple troublemaker from the streets. He emigrated in the 60s because he made some trouble back in his home country. And we were just surviving most of our life. But one thing I love about this country is those of us that come from different places, there's no opportunity for forward momentum, upward progression. Okay. If you're born into a certain set, you know, poor, uneducated, that is where you expect yourself to live. So my dad taught me early, you know, he's like, hey, this is America. Like, we rewrite our story here. And that's he gave me the belief that I could be anything. But the humble guy inside me, who's still poor and struggling in my brain, will always be like, you know, I mean, the team that I wrote in, like, there's six people here, like watching me. This is crazy, bro. Like, it's like Team Luck Fu, and I'm like a Team Live, and I'm like, you know, I sit in the car, and I'm like, I keep to myself. So I turn it on. To be very honest with you, like, I never sit there and go, yo, you're famous. Yo, people care. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is a mode. And I call it, like, it's Food Network mode for me.
It's like comedians we've had on.
And
they walk down the street and people see them grabbing a sandwich and they're like, why aren't you telling jokes?
Yeah,
why aren't you funny right now?
Right. Why aren't you being
big? Make me laugh.
Yes.
You know, or something like that.
Yeah.
Everybody comes to you with some sort of help me out with something in the cooking, or they expect that you're going to be able to answer all their questions in real time.
And I will, but I'm not going to be like, hey, guys, let's go do this right now, and let's do that, let's do that. I mean, you've met a lot of celebrities. You've met a lot of famous people. I think that they fall into two buckets. There's like the really quiet person who turns it on, and then there's the person who's always on. And I think that's that line between extroversion and introversion. So I'm definitely more on the introversion side.
It's interesting, and you mentioned that, though, because what has been really cool about this in meeting celebrities is finding out how many of them have stories kind of like yours, just humble people who have very talented people.
Sure,
But pretty grounded.
Gritty and grounded.
Yeah, and that whole mindset that people have, this arrogant, over-the-top. I'm sure they exist.
Yeah.
I just have been blessed to not interact with a lot of them.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a cool perspective.
You can be political. It's okay.
There's some. Like, we go to commercial break. I can share with you.
There you go. Exactly.
And I will, too. Yeah. Right after the discussion, we were like, don't bring them back.
Right.
They cannot come back. All right. So Luck Fu, like one of the things that you do, obviously, is opening restaurants, making appearances, tasting menus. What is Luck Fu?
So Luck Fu is a partnership with Live Casino. Luck Fu is one of the best Asian concepts in Philly inside the Live Casino, right? So already has great DNA, mainly Chinese. So, you know, what I've done over the years is because my training is rounded. It's Thai, it's Vietnamese, it's Korean. So I was doing an event with Wolfgang Puck at Live Casino a few years ago. Got to know the leadership really well, and they're like, hey, do you want to like bring in some like you know some dishes and kind of round this menu out and bring some attention and marketing? I was like, heck yeah. Yeah, I'm in that phase of my life where, you know what, I want to take something that's already amazing. The biggest question I get on TV is this, like on social media is, hey, I watch you on TV, I watch you cook, I watch you judge, I watch you host, where can I eat your food? That is like the number one request. So, you know, I've been looking for a partner, a national partner, where I can feature my menu and I can do it freely and I could do it collaboratively. So that's Luck Fu. So if you go to Philadelphia, if you go to Live, if you go go into Luck Fu, starting, you know, this week, you're going to see the Jet Tila menu along with it. So you're going to get all the dishes that you watch me make on Ready Jet Cook and on Tournament of Champions and that. So that's it. And then from here, we're going to go to Bossier, Louisiana. From there, we're going to go to Maryland. And wherever Live goes, I'll go. So basically, Luck Fu is their Asian concept. Jet Tila at Luck Fu is going to be kind of that. You get to hang out with Jet from a culinary point of view.
It's nice in there. And I wonder, I've been here. I haven't been to the other places that you're talking about. But I would imagine the whole concept of, it's a different crowd, isn't it? It's like it's opening eyes to what you do. People in there watching the Eagles game.
Right.
Or in there just, you know, gambling, betting, whatever.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, didn't go out necessarily for the fine dining, although some do
some
over
do
there.
Sometimes, yeah, for
it's
sure.
a new audience, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you'd be, I was surprised that there's a huge overlap between Food Network audience and wanting to go see the Eagles, wanting to go see Phillies, wanting to gamble. You know what I mean?
That's an interesting point, because that's me.
That. There you go.
Yeah.
That is you. That is our spouses, our partners, our friends. You know, if you think about, like, Food Network, in my opinion, is the gold standard in food television. And more people than you think watch it. So we're doing these events at Luck Fu, and people are like, wow, I watch you on TV. I like to hang out here. Those two worlds merge. You know what I mean? And I'm not a fine dining guy. I'm a great dining guy. I make approachable food. Some of it's fancy, some of it's simple, and that's my approach to food.
I saw you, and the perfect example of that. I was looking on your social media page.
Oh yeah,
and saw you elevating ramen.
That's it.
And I'm sitting there like, this dude just took a 50 cent package of ramen and turned it into a meal.
Yeah,
and I think some of that you're watching it going, I mean, I can't do that. But I would try.
You could do that, right? But it's but you're like, that's more approachable. And I think it's more really a metaphor for most of us. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to ask, if I ask 100 people, how often do you eat foie gras? I might get 3 people. How often have you eaten ramen in your life? But now, as I progress through my life, I can maybe add lobster to ramen, right? I can make ramen fancy. But it all comes, like, it really is a metaphor for most of us, and me specifically. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I've been 25 cent ramen most of my life. And in the last 15 years, my life has changed. But you know what I'm saying? But 90% of people are going to be comfortable with my food. So when they come into Luck Fu, they're going to be like, I feel comfortable here. It's not over my head. It's not under my head. I meet them where they are in Asian cuisine.
Like, I can get his ingredients or some of them at the wholesale club when I'm out there.
That's exactly
for the weekend
right.
grabbing stuff.
And then I can go to Jet Social Media, or I can go to Food Network's Ready Jet Cook Show. And we're all growing together. It really is this relationship. And when you watch people who watch Food Network religiously, like, they get crazy excited. It really is like the celebrity thing. So although I don't care about being a celebrity, I'm excited that I can impact people, right? Give them an experience.
And then you can go to Luck Fu and find out what it's supposed to taste
there
like.
There it is, right? Like, exactly.
Not what we just did at home.
Right.
In all of that, opening restaurants, obviously the TV and all this, mixed in a couple of world records.
Yeah.
Why? Like, how did you get into doing all that?
In my young chef life, right, I worked for a fantastic company, and I was early in on the tech company. So in the late 90s and early 2000s, I built the first Asian cafe at Google, right? I was at Oracle. I was at, you know, back then it was eBay, PayPal,
yeah,
right? So we had big campuses, and we needed to do really large events. And then I was in college, university dining. So it was a no-brainer. It brings attention to whatever business I was in, right? Mm-hmm. And I was one of those kids that tell me I can't,
right?
And I will show you how it's done, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how I broke my first record. It was Thai Town, probably year 2000, and they were like, I'm going to make the world's largest pad Thai. I'm going to make it 400 pounds, and I thought that was big at that time. I submitted to Guinness, and they're like, sorry, kid, it's a stir fry, and the current stir fry is 800 pounds, and I was like, hold my Thai tea.
Right.
Right? And a year later, I broke that record. And then I just kept doing it and doing it.
What does an 800-pound stir fry look like?
About this table? Yeah, I had a 4-foot wok designed, right? Quarter-inch steel plate, welded it around, seasoned it, and went for it. And then eventually I had to make a 20-foot wok to break that record twice. So
this is an investment. Like, when you decide you want to do this, is not a wake up and I'm going to find a way to get in the Guinness Book. Like,
no,
that's a commitment.
If you want to do it right, I mean, it takes lots of money, lots of support, lots of math. Right. You know what I mean? Lots of chefs. So that's why I had to do it with these really large corporations, and I appreciate that they were with me all the way. So that's why I'm done too. Like, 5 world records, man. Like, you know, that's we're getting into the 7 figures, right? Out of 5 world records, and you know, it's whatever, dude. It's time. I did that. If someone wants to do it, I'll do it again. But I'm good. Yeah.
I apologize for the low key eye roll. Like, we were sitting there talking, you're like, I'm done at 5 world records.
Oh no,
I'm
no, like, no.
That's enough.
You're right.
I'm finished with that.
That's kind of douchey.
No, it's real.
Right. No, okay.
It would be douchey if I said.
No, it would not.
Because I haven't done it. Like, if you actually have the 5 world records,
right?
That's just telling the truth.
No. But again, it, you know what? Everything I do is about creating experiences, and that's also two sides. I create an experience for the kids or the corporations and the people that have eaten it, and I also create experiences on the back end of all the team members that I do it. So, like at Luck Fu, like, yes, a lot of our guests are super happy. It was nice to meet them. But it's also about bonding with the team inside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I really believe that I'm an entertainer on the front side. I'm a leader and a collaborator on the backside, right? And it's on both sides, it's all about creating experiences.
It sounds like it. What you're saying, and my interpretation of it, is similar to what I've heard from some of the other chefs. Like, growing up to that level, the celebrity is not necessarily that big of a deal to you.
Yeah.
The ability to reach more people, you know, and share what you love to do and interacting with people, the platform provides for the opportunity to do that.
You nailed it. In my opinion, to your point, celebrity is access. It's all it is. And you know what? Celebrity is also safety. Because when you come from like a food insecure and income insecure background, I feel safe finally at 51 years old, right? I feel safe. I feel safe from poverty. I feel safe from hunger. But I also feel like I have access now to a larger world because of yourself, right? Because of what we're doing today, because of all the partners that I have like live. I just, you know, I can live this last half of my life happy. And when I feel safe, I can create more experiences and I can leverage that to help more people. I raise a ton of money for different charities. I always am, you know, I'm always trying to give access to people who were like me before. So all this is access and opportunity. And I appreciate that every single day.
It's cool. And the show, what you're saying is this show, it's obviously on a different level.
No, but it's still
opening important doors and allowing us respectfully into rooms that a lot of times we're not in.
That's it. You
know, or sit down and have conversations with people that we just needed somebody to allow that access. And I think it's cool that once you get it, you don't slam the door behind you.
Yeah.
It is, come on, come on down to live or experience Luck Fu, or, you know, let's do the book signing or set a world record, because more people can come in the room.
Yeah, and I know this show, and you're teaching lessons from persons who have experienced a lot, and that's what this is all about. And there's more of us than there are of them, and a lot of us need to be inspired and shown that the door is open, but you have to kick it open, and you have to find ways to open it. You have to play the game to be there,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. And I know it's part code and part not code, but most of us are not born with these opportunities. And I know I'm in that astronomical small percentile,
yep.
But now that I'm here, right, I can show other people hopefully a path or give them, maybe it's just not that intense. Maybe it's just like, oh, dude, I like that guy. I root for that guy, and I can see myself in that guy.
Yeah.
That it could be that simple.
But that's right? Inspiration too.
Agreed.
Like opening up the door is one form. People being able to see you and say, oh, so I actually can.
Right.
You know,
right.
From where I came from.
There's also another angle of it is also kind of inclusivity, right? Like a person who looks like me and a person who looks like you, we can be like, oh, we're not different.
Yeah,
our life experiences are the same, right? We just maybe come from different places. So that's another thing that I really love about what I do, right? LA is diverse. Philly's diverse, right? So I love that we all hang out on Food Network, on at Live, at Luck Foo, on my social media. It becomes a community. And, you know, I've always called my community Team Tila.
Okay.
There's no price of entry to be in Team Tila. There's no requirement of any sort to be Team Tila. So I think I'm trying to build community. And you don't have to pay. I'd love you to come to Luck Foo, but I know it's not cheap, but then go to my social and build ramen with me. Go right. Watch Food Network on YouTube. Costs nothing. Learn how to cook. You know what I mean? Reach out to me on social. That costs nothing. So there's no barriers. There's no, you know what I mean? I'm not gatekeeping in any way.
Yeah. All right. So doing all of that, you said no more records.
Yeah, no more records.
It was, what was it? Seafood stew. It was fruit salad.
Yeah.
It was stir fry.
California roll, stir fry, and granola bar. Just
you made a big granola bar?
420-foot granola bar.
I understand
Cruz.
Why you're done.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that's enough.
Yeah.
What's next? I mean, you're always doing something.
Yeah, a lot of things. You know, I'm writing my fourth book right now. I've got like three fantastic books that still sell today. 101 Asian, 101 Epic, 101 Thai. I'm writing a Chinese cookbook. I'm opening more restaurants. I've got to do two more Luck Foos to make it three by the end of this year, probably. I've got a restaurant coming at Burbank Airport. You guys are coming out to the West Coast. Home Shopping Network is also here in Pennsylvania. So, you know, I drive out to Westchester every few months. And you know, honestly, my biggest job right now I am madly in love with my wife and family. And I spent 40 years of my life trying to avoid having a family. And I just want to have enough balance to raise two good human beings, carve out a little life for myself and my wife. And, you know, I am like the most boring dude in real life. Like, you know what I mean? So
your social media begs to differ.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate it. And go check out the search because we're a family brand.
Yeah.
We are a deep, deep family and I think culinary brand. So that's a lot of things are happening, man. Like opening a lot of concepts, you know, more shows. Ready, Jet, Cook. My show got renewed, and I know that we're teasing another season after that. 3-time Emmy nominated show.
Nice.
I think I'm going to be like I gave away an Emmy last year at the primetime Emmys. I think I might be doing that this year.
Your presenter.
I actually presented in a chef coat last year. It was pretty hilarious. Okay.
So I feel like if you're a presenter, they're supposed to give you one.
No, I'm serious. Are you listening?
Like, that's the deal. I feel like.
Where's my camera here?
Emmys,
you listening? Yeah.
Right. Like if you show up there and you're nominated.
There you go.
Like I always thought watching like the Grammys and whatnot.
Yeah.
So-and-so is presenting. They're there. They're nominated. They're supposed to win.
But I'm grateful being 3 times nominated. I'm grateful, though. I am grateful.
I'd say if he's going to come spend his time there, he's supposed to win.
Yeah.
Like, you knew when you invited.
Oh, man.
Right?
No, they treat me well, man. The Emmys. I love you guys.
Try not to get
I'll be
trouble.
Playing pickleball this weekend at the Emmys tournament. So, anyway.
Is there actually a tournament?
There really is. Yeah. So, if you're in that weird world like I am, if you're nerdy like me, there's an Emmys pickleball tournament every year, and I'll be playing in that. So
this is probably why I didn't get invited.
Yeah, you're
you're stirring the pot, bro. Stirring the pot. Yeah.
All right. We end every episode of The Pulse, and I appreciate you spending this much time.
Yeah, no, I. You know what? This has been a real intimate conversation. I appreciate what you do because I know what you're doing in multiple layers, and thanks for spreading the word and just there's a lot of lessons here. You know what I mean? And I've learned a lot of lessons from you and your other guests as well.
I appreciate it. The theme of the show is use your voice for good.
Yeah.
So we ask everybody the same final question. And that is, when you hear that phrase, use your voice for good, what's it mean to you?
I think number one of my core values is be kind every day to everyone you meet. Firstly.
Okay.
Right? Assume we're all going through stuff. And when you get the grumpy face from the person across from you, you can turn that around. Right? It's really simple. My rules. Within 6 feet, I'm going to look at you in the eyeball and smile. Say hello. I'm going to always be kind. And that's your core. And then help people where you can. And use whatever platform that you have to do better. And leave it better than you found it. That's pretty simple, right?
I like it.
But it's hard to live, and I feel like I do live it. But those are some easy rules.
It's simple. It's not easy to do. Yeah. So have the simple premise, but do the work, you know, to get it done.
And it makes a difference. Makes a difference. I mean, you'd be surprised after 30 years in my business. If it's between me and another person for a job or a casting or something, it usually comes down to, you know what? Jet's the nicer guy. He's going to be easier to work with, and he gets the job done. It all comes around.
I'm going to tell you a story after we wrap this up. Somebody
should
actually
do it
said
now.
Something like
I think
that
you should
to me.
You should tell me a story
real
right
quick.
Now. I think you should.
We
I
had
think someone's going to learn from it.
One of the people that I was working for, getting into TV, I was coming out of radio, and they pulled me to the side, and they said that, Bill, people like working with you. They like you. And he said, and so that will open doors for you. But be very careful not to become the person who the door opens. You're now inside and the ego goes out of control. Absolutely. And now, because just as quickly as people like you, you know, they cannot.
Yeah.
And those doors can close just as easily as they open.
That's so true. And in your business and my business, entertainment, which I actually fell into later in my life, in culinary, in every business that you're in, it will come around because the world is small, right? There's one connection to me and any chef that you can think of on earth between Gordon Ramsay and Guy Fieri and Bobby Flay, know them personally. And then we filter down. Yeah. So last story, I was cooking and tasting at Wynn Las Vegas and I was not the candidate of choice. All right. I was like the multiple candidates down. And all these huge chefs were flown in from around the world. I was the only chef. And part of the reason I got hired outside of my chops, only chef that actually went out to the table and said hello and thank you. And I was told that later. It's really simple, guys. It's really simple.
These are life lessons with Jet Tila. That could be the next show. All right, so follow you on social media. Here in Philly and soon across the country, you can check out Luck Fu at live casinos.
Please, in Philly, go to Luck Fu, eat my menu, hang out with me, post a story, let me know how you like it. And then new cookbook, Ready, Jet, Cook on Food Network. A bunch of shows, Tournament of Champions, Wild Card Kitchen, Beat Bobby Flay, all those shows,
Let's do it. I appreciate you spending some time, man. Continued success.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with celebrity chef and restaurateur. I found out he's a multi-time Guinness Book World Record holder. He's got a cool experience with his family. It's kind of like trailblazers, and they've kind of carved out their place in history, starting the first restaurants of their kind, his father, and then he followed in his footsteps. So I hope you enjoyed hearing all of that. I certainly enjoyed it. Do me a favor, hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is that you have to hit on your screen so you get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse comes out. You should download the Fox Local app so all of our 160 plus episodes are right there at your fingertips with some really cool people. I'm sure you will enjoy it. And give me a follow on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. Thank you so much for listening. And I leave you as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.